Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are now using the word bribery because a focus group told them it would play better with the audience. A new government report shows that over 10% of DACA recipients have criminal records, and a university is teaching students how to decolonize Thanksgiving. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. I hope you had a great weekend. We're going to start with impeachment because at the end of the week, there were more hearings and it was more of the same. No one that the Democrats have brought out has said anything remotely that's an impeachable offense against President Donald Trump. Nothing. It's just a bogus continuation of the Russia collusion trying to get President Trump, and it fails every time. Remember on the last show, I showed you a clip from questioning. The two star witnesses were State Department official George Kent and the acting ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor. And Representative John Ratcliffe just asked a simple question, and here was the response.
In this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
So then on Friday, the next star witness, the big one, was the former Ukraine ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch. She was the one who's now going to blow Trump out of the water. And there was great questioning by Representative Chris Stewart, and he went over 3 years of the efforts that the Democrats have done on the Russia collusion and Mueller report and things like that, just on and on. And so then he got to year four and he said this.
But now in year four, we apparently move on to Ukraine and quid pro quo, culminating yesterday when the speaker announced that the president would indeed be impeached and removed for office for bribery.
So it's bribery now, okay? And that's what Representative Chris Stewart said that Nancy Pelosi said in her press conference. So he asked Ambassador Yovanovitch just a few simple questions, and here's one of them.
And with that statement, I would now feel compelled to ask you, Madam Ambassador, as you sit here before us, very simply and directly, do you have any information regarding the President of the United States accepting any bribes?
No.
Okay, so no evidence at all that President Trump accepted bribes. Here's another.
Do you have any information regarding any criminal activity that the President of the United States has been involved with at all?
No.
So there you go. Another star witness up and another one down. And there's more coming. There's going to be the big one that's coming up next is Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, who actually spoke with President Trump. The Democrats are going to trot him out. And once again, it's going to fail because there's nothing impeachable here. When both sides say there was no bribery, that there was nothing withheld, then there is no crime. There's nothing there. It is a sham. And it's just more of the same effort by the Democrats. But the main point I want to get to is this whole use of the word bribery. Okay, they were always saying this is a quid pro quo between the Ukraine and President Trump. And now all of a sudden that word just evaporated and they're saying bribery. Well, why are they doing that? Because they held a focus group and their focus group told them to. Here's a report from the Washington Post. Pelosi's embrace of the term bribery, one of only two crimes specifically cited in the Constitution as impeachable, comes after nearly 2 months of debate over whether President Trump's conduct amounted to a quid pro quo, a Latin term describing an exchange of things of value. Several Democrats have stopped using the term quid pro quo, instead describing bribery as a more direct summation of President Trump's alleged conduct. The shift came after the Democratic Congressional Committee conducted focus groups in key House battlegrounds in recent weeks, testing messages related to impeachment. Among the questions put to participants was whether quid pro quo, extortion, or bribery was a more compelling description of Trump's conduct. According to two people familiar with the results, which circulated among Democrats last week, the focus groups found bribery to be the most damning. The people spoke on the condition of anonymity because the results have not been made public. So there you go. I mean, their focus group mentality, How can we get President Trump? What's the best way? What's the most effective way to get him rather than what's the best thing for the country? And you can see these results in action. Here's a clip from CBS News.
Quid pro quo, bribery.
For the first time today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi used a term that has been gaining steam in her party.
Bribery, extortion and bribery.
Bribe an ally.
So see, singing the same song, they obviously all got the bribery memo. And here's more.
What makes this a case of bribery?
The bribe is to grant or withhold military assistance in return for a public statement of a fake investigation.
A public statement on a fake investigation? I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what she's saying. But she did lay out the case. And the problem is there were no funds that were withheld and there was no investigation that was done. So she just laid out the case right there that there is nothing impeachable. GOP leader, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy summed it up this way.
They will continue to try to make something up when we have the facts of the phone call. We know there was no pressure to either leader and the money was released.
All right, so there you go. We'll see what happens next. As I mentioned, more witnesses are coming, especially their big one is Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, who spoke with President Trump. And again, the Democrats are going to trot him out to try to overturn an election. They've had nothing so far, and yet they keep going. And rather than doing what's best for the country, they're just trying to get Trump. So we'll keep on it. We'll keep you updated. But next, I want to move to illegal immigration. All right. And in specifically, the DACA program. That's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And there was a government report that was just issued the other day, and it is startling. Now, DACA is a controversial issue because these are people that came over illegally as children. So their families, their adult parents brought them over. They all snuck in, went through illegal channels, but now they're here. They've been living here. They've grown up. And now this program allows you to apply for a two-year deferment to stay in the country. Well, a government report just came out and it showed that over 10% of these people applying have criminal records, some of them major crimes. And here's a report from the Daily Caller. In total, there were nearly 889,000 applicants for the DACA program. Roughly 110,000 of those who applied had an arrest record, making up 12% of total applicants. Offenses for some of these arrests included murder, rape, battery, assault, and driving while intoxicated, according to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. More notably, of the 765,000 individuals who were granted DACA status, 79,398 had a prior arrest. This translates to 1 in 10 DACA recipients carrying an arrest record. Nearly 25,000 requesters who were approved were arrested more than once. So come on. I mean, if we want to do something, if we want to fix this problem, because clearly the immigration system is broken, both illegal and legal immigration. It needs to be fixed. We need to find ways to do this properly so that we can accept refugees if they are truly needed, that we can accept people that want to come here legally and make a better life. But for people that cheat the system, we need to fix the problem. And for people that are here illegally and continue to do illegal things, I mean, there's got to be a stop to that. And this is where we should start right now. If people are here illegally and they're taking advantage of this program, they should be thankful. They should be doing everything they can to be good American residents. And yet they have criminal records, some of them violent crimes. Let's start there. Let's get rid of these people and work on the rest of the problem. We can debate that. We can find solutions. But let's start with some common sense approach and get rid of the people who do not belong here. Here's more from the Daily Caller. Supreme Court justices heard arguments on November 12th over whether the Trump administration can legally terminate the program, which began through a 2012 executive order by former President Barack Obama. President Donald Trump has long argued that Obama never had the legal authority to unilaterally create DACA, but so far the lower courts have blocked the White House from nixing the program. The president wants to end Obama's executive order. However, he has publicly voiced his support for implementing the program through Congress. All right, so this is just ridiculous, okay? Rather than going through Congress, rather than establishing laws and debating in the legislative side of our government, Obama created an executive order. He created this program through executive order, and now the courts won't let the next president get rid of the program through executive order. It's just absolutely nonsense, and it shows how the entire system is broken and needs to be fixed. So we're going to keep on that because that is a big issue. We see it all the time. It always comes up, and the Democrats are not serious about fixing the problem. You can tell with their speeches and with their actions how we always care about border security, but they never vote for any actual border security funds. All they want is open borders, a free flow of people coming in, and they don't care who is coming, if whether it's terrorists or drug traffickers or any of those that will be in the mix. They don't care. They just want, all they see is votes. All they see is a constituency. All they see is an interest group that they want to appeal to. So next, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And I know what you're thinking. You know, you're about to get together with family and you're about to eat too much, watch football, you know, debate who's better and just enjoy the whole time with friends, family. But I know what you're really thinking. You're really thinking, how do we decolonize Thanksgiving? Well, we've got a college that has a class that's offering a program to teach you how to decolonize Thanksgiving and feel better about yourself in the process. Here's a report from Campus Reform. A Pennsylvania university is hosting an event aimed to both decolonize Thanksgiving and educate students about the myths of Thanksgiving, along with serving decolonial cuisine on campus. Students at Indiana University of Pennsylvania are invited to decolonize Thanksgiving on Thursday at a table hosted by IUP's Native American Awareness Council and sponsored by the school's Social Equity and Title IX office. The function encourages students to decolonize your Thanksgiving and go beyond the harmful Pilgrims and Indians narrative of the first Thanksgiving. So who knew? Who knew that Pilgrims and Indians were actually harmful? I grew up with that. That's the images I had. We used to dress up like that at school and have Thanksgiving because it showed, it symbolized to young kids that two groups that were supposed to, you know, different could come together. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's about putting ideas aside, getting together, and coming together to be thankful for what you have. But that idea of coming together doesn't fit the left's narrative anymore. It doesn't fit their idea. They are always looking for some kind of event or occasion to find something wrong with it. That way they can do their left-wing solution. And here's more from Campus Reform. Abigail Adams, the chairperson of IUP's Native American Awareness Council, stated that Carrie House, a Two-Spirit Navajo scholar who had hosted a lecture on campus in 2017 about Native Two Spirits and is labeled as a presenter of social justice, LGBTQ2, and cultural environmental issues, will also be at a table to offer Native perspective on Thanksgiving. In addition, the NAAC Social Equity and Title IX office will hold a concurrent event through the week titled Decolonial Cuisine Celebration that is described as culinary movement honoring the heritage of Indigenous America through our foodways and dietary choices. I'm happy to help. I'm glad I could provide a service because, again, I know that you are looking to decolonize your Thanksgiving, and I'm here to help. It's just nuts, folks. So anyway, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, and when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified, and we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.